Our sermon text for today is from Isaiah chapter 50. If you have your Bibles, open to Isaiah chapter 50. And hopefully you have your fingers ready because we'll be looking at a number of passages. But Isaiah 50, beginning with verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches that you have set ablaze. This is what you will receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Father, open our eyes and our ears that we might hear your word. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you speak to us the truth of your word and apply it to our life. Remove all distractions that may be around us that we might hear and listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No doubt you have noticed people's ears. Probably notice your own. And if you look at ears, they come in all different sizes and shapes, right? But there's one thing that all ears have in common. You know what that is? They're on the outside of your head. They're not on the inside. Why are they on the outside? Because we're not supposed to be listening to ourselves all the time. Can you imagine the amount of torment and pain that we could be relieved from if we did not religiously listen to only our own thoughts and emotions and nothing else? Yeah, we could spare ourselves a lot of problems. For we all live within a mental universe. And that mental universe, you know, is where we talk to ourselves. And yes, we answer ourselves. And we decide things and we bounce ideas back and forth with ourselves. But the condition of that atmosphere inside the universe of our mind is very important. The condition of the atmosphere within that universe of our mind is very important. And we need to ask ourselves, are our ears open to hear and to receive truth? Are they open to receive the direction from God as he speaks to us? Does our mental universe have a place for God's word? The New Testament says quite often, as Jesus says these words, he who has ears, let him hear. Right? The Old Testament, the prophets would often say, hear the word of the Lord. And then they would explain, whatever, what God told them to say. A very important passage, it's known as the Great Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. Shema is simply a Hebrew word that means hear. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hear, listen. And I know we all hear, but of course we don't always listen. No less than 394 times in the Old Testament, It talks about God's word coming to us. God's word coming to us. Since God's communication is primarily through the word and not pictures, we need to learn to listen. You ever think what it would be like if God's word came to us through video? You get out your iPhone, oh, here's God speaking to me, I can see it. I don't think it would have the lasting impact as the written word has. So he comes to us through the word and not through DVDs, iPhones, computers, or anything else. And that's important to remember hearing and listening as we come to Isaiah chapter 50, because he has a lot to say about hearing and about the servant hearing. But as we look at Isaiah 50, we need to identify who is who. For there are two players in this passage. One is the suffering servant. The suffering servant is the Messiah, the coming Messiah. So this is a prophecy. Second of all, there is Zion, depending on your translation, or Israel. So Israel, Zion, it's synonymous, it's the same thing. But the suffering servant is the Messiah. And other places, the suffering servant is Israel, but not here. This is the Messiah who would be coming into the world. Okay? Zion, Israel, at this time in her history, decided they don't need God. They don't need to follow him. So they turned away. And they were experiencing a tremendous amount of trouble and problems. Not just once. It happened over and over again. But here, the suffering servant was going to come and to be the perfect Israel. Unlike Israel, however, the servant listens and he obeys the word of God. Listen again to Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The servant, the suffering servant, is well taught and instructed in the word of God by his father. And as he is instructed and as he is taught, he doesn't forget. He doesn't ignore, like we oftentimes do and like the Israelites did. He obeyed it. Let me read again the latter part of verse 4. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. It's the picture of a rabbi who would commonly walk around from town to town, and he would have his group of disciples. They're students. Disciples are students. And they'd walk around and they'd follow him. Now, at the end of the day, the students didn't go back home, and then the next day they come back. Rather, they stayed with the rabbi, sometimes weeks, months, sometimes even years, as we see in the New Testament with Jesus. And so they ate and slept and walked and did everything with him 24/7. And so Isaiah is painting this picture. He says he's like the disciple, or like the rabbi who wakens his disciples. He says, okay, it's time to get up. We're going to start a new day, time for more instruction. And they are taught. This is Jesus. He is well taught, awakened. I believe, however, we are more like Israel. We are more like Israel. We listen to a point. We hear, and then oftentimes we forget. Or, worse, we ignore. James talks about that in the first chapter. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How many times do we do that? We read the word. I got that. We walk away. Gone. We forget. And if you forget, we have a problem with obeying. And if we continue to forget, And we don't try to get it to stick in our mind and our heart. It will only provide for us trouble in this life because we are not influencing the mental universe with the truth of God's word. So the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 50 is not only a competent scholar, well-taught, well-trained, but he is also very loving. And that's very important to understand that he is very loving and he is able to help the weak, the suffering, the sick, the frustrated with the word to sustain them. Isn't that what he said? Yeah, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. And there's a lot of weary people today in the face of the coronavirus, the pandemic. Weary over staying at home. Weary and fearful over what the future holds because there's so much that is unpredictable. And God says, hold it. Know my word that can sustain you, strengthen you, because my word is true. My word is eternal. And he backs his word. Isaiah chapter 40. Back just a few pages. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. That's the word of our Lord, the suffering servant. That is what he can provide for us. He is one who is instructed. He is well taught, obedient, and loving. And he comes to us through his word that is written for all of us to read and to take in. So it gives us hope, and it shapes our mind, and it shapes our thoughts. So if God comes to us in his word, what do we need to do? We need to listen. We need to learn it. We need to memorize it. We need to internalize it so it makes a difference, so it shapes how we think and process everything that comes our way. God's word is even more striking or even more pronounced by what Jesus said, by him speaking it. In particular, one that is good for us to keep in mind is John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 46. John 7, 46. (clears throat) 46 says, no one has ever spoke the way this man does. The guards declared. In other words, he has spoken with tremendous authority, tremendous power. The Pharisees and the chief priests often said that this man speaks with authority no one else has, because what he says is directly from God. And what he pronounces is that his enemy is defeated. The enemy that pursues us and wears us out, the enemy that tempts us to turn away from God, the enemy that tells us that our prayers are worth nothing and that our faith is worth nothing, that enemy, yeah, the devil. Jesus promises very clearly, he is defeated and he will not last. As Isaiah says about moths, no, it's a striking picture here in verse 9. It says, they will wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. It's a picture of what will happen to the enemy. That is how long he will last. It's like a moth that just continues to eat and deteriorate the clothing. He will disappear. It will rot. It will be no more. So Satan will be that in that manner. Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans 8:37. In all these things, and Paul was talking about all the hardships that he experienced. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Loved us, okay? Remember that. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Does Jesus, the great suffering servant, condemn us because of our sin? No. He saves us. And that's why he's given us his word, because it leads us to salvation. So in all the frustration of COVID-19, all the frustration of maybe losing our job and so many other things, God says, I am here to rescue. I am here to save. His word does not condemn, it encourages. So when we listen to the voice of the servant, he leads us out of darkness. He leads us into the light. Out of darkness, because if we are not following Christ, we are in darkness. We listen to the voice of the servant of God. He leads us out of darkness into the light, as he has said in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay? That's what the suffering servant has come to do for us. The suffering servant has ears that were open, unlike Israel and the world today. I don't think the world has ears that are very open to the word of God or to what Jesus Christ is doing. Not only do they not have ears that are open, I don't even think there's much of a desire to hear what God has to say through his word and his written word. And most ears are closed because of idolatry. Yes, idolatry. We are so preoccupied and fascinated with many deceiving gods, idols, and there's a plethora of them. Power, yeah. Science, yeah. Our own independence, wealth, addictions of many kinds, and the list goes on and on and on. We are preoccupied with putting something before God, and so we refuse to listen. People who refuse to listen walk in darkness, and yet it's interesting, at the same time they're living in darkness, walking in darkness because they've closed their ears to the word of God, yet at the same time they think, I have all the wisdom and the knowledge I need in order to solve all the problems that I will face, and most importantly, all the information I need to pave a peaceful future for this country or even the world. Because I can do it myself. I don't need a God. We're smart. We look to the experts and the professionals. What do we need God for? Besides, he may not even exist, and some people don't think he exists. And the result of that is simply agony and pain, as the world has witnessed so many times. Today, I think we are more similar to Israel. For Israel, back in Isaiah's time, believed that God did not love them. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. See? God doesn't love us. He's turned his back on us. He doesn't love us. He's forgotten. He didn't even know we're here. Well, if you don't have a God to follow, what are you going to do? You're going to follow or look for another God, right? And as I mentioned, those other things and so much more, that's what fills the void. And we suffer as a consequence. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. They were suffering a lot because they turned away from God. God did not turn away from them. But the suffering servant, what did he do? He listened. He obeyed. He gave his attention to his father. And he didn't lose sight of his love. And yet he still suffered. Not for doing wrong. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. Verse 6, it says in Isaiah 50, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. It's interesting, those at that time, when you were beaten on the back, was a sign that you were an evil person. When they pulled the beard out of your face, it was an extreme insult because the beard was considered respect and freedom of an individual man. But when they pulled it out, it was utter contempt for who you were. And so that's what they were trying to explain and do to Jesus. We have utter contempt for who you are and who you claim to be. Israel had many opportunities and resources to be faithful to God and to see God in display and working throughout their country and their lives, just like we do in America. Many resources, more than we need, to be able to see God. And yet, what did they do? They followed idols. Yeah. They went after something else or someone else. And as a result, suffered the consequences of a lot of trouble and a lot of pain. Reject the Messiah. You not only have trouble in this life, but you will have trouble in the next, as Isaiah 66:24 says. They will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind. It's a picture of eternal and everlasting torment. Rejecting the Messiah, the suffering servant. Not any trouble here, but it will lead to suffering in hell. Israel began the walk of faith on the right foot. And we can all begin something new, something exciting on the right foot, right? We have energy, we have excitement, we're motivated, and we go to it with everything that we can. And then as time progresses, what oftentimes happens? We become weary, we become tired. It becomes a bore, a snore, a chore, and we say no more. That's the tragic. The servant began with great energy. He began on the right foot. He began strong, but he was tough as nails. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was slapped, insulted, hemorrhaging on the cross. How did he finish? Just as strong as he began. So strong that he defeated the curse against mankind. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. When he cried out on the cross, what were those words? Yeah. It is finished. It is finished. And he gave up his life. What was finished? Jesus wasn't finished. But the payment for your sin and mine was finished. It was paid in full that you and I do not have to give or could do anything else. It's done. All we need to do is invite Jesus Christ by faith as our Lord and as our Savior. And he gives us his righteousness, forgiveness, and peace with God. You see, finishing strong doesn't mean that we need to be first. Finishing strong doesn't mean that we won't experience the disappointment or regret. Finishing strong means that we lend our ear to the Word of God. We listen and we follow. And so here's the word that can sustain Philippians 1:6. I am convinced that he who began a work in me or in you will finish it on the day of Jesus Christ. So he will continue to work in you and I until either we die or he returns, whichever it is. God is faithful. May we be faithful as we look to him and have our ears open and listen and follow what he says. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for being willing to be the suffering servant. You suffered more than we can imagine. Not because you did anything wrong, but because we did. You didn't suffer for your own sins, you suffered for ours, because you had no sin. Lord, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, Good Friday, help us to realize that all that we evil that we see around us, you have defeated it. It will not win the day. It cannot. And it points to a time when you are going to return to this world once more, bring judgment, and to bring reward to those who follow you. Lord, may we know with absolute certainty, by the conviction of your Holy Spirit, that we walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.